The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And some breaking news this morning. L.A. Clippers star Kawhi Leonard expected to miss tonight's Game 5 with the Utah Jazz with a right knee injury, and he could be out the remainder of the series. That, according to sources of ESPN, Leonard tweaked his knee on a drive late in the Clippers' Game 4 victory. He stayed in briefly, but he did not finish the game. And with that, we want to welcome in Roz Gold Unwude to get her insight on this. So, Roz, we talked about this to start off the show. What is your reaction to the news?
My reaction to this Kawhi Leonard news is it's devastating, catastrophic news for the Clippers championship aspirations if this is a long-term injury for Kawhi Leonard. I think the Clippers can win a game without Kawhi, but a championship? No. You know, Kawhi Leonard is a quiet dude, but his game is super loud, y'all. And it's very clear that emotionally, mentally, physically, as Kawhi goes, so does the Clippers. I mean, even with Kawhi, the Clippers have been a team that have a lot of talent, but you just don't know what you're going to get from them from game to game. I mean, you look at in the playoffs against the Mavs, this has been a team that played extra games more than they had to. You know, they had opportunities, winnable games, to close out the game, and instead they had turnovers, mistakes, missed layups, bad shots, the inability to seize the moment until Game 7 against the Mavs. Kawhi absolutely asserted himself, was aggressive, and the team followed. Even in these playoffs against the Jazz, going down 0-2 before they started to punch back. And of course, last season's playoffs, this inexcusable and embarrassing collapse against the Nuggets when they were up 3-1. And that's with Kawhi. Now, I'll give you an example of who the Clippers are capable of being without Kawhi as well. I'm not saying this is who they are, but they're a team that's Jekyll and Hyde at times. December 27th, this season, versus the Mavs. Down 50 at halftime. 49 points, they lost the game. The worst loss in the history of the Clippers franchise. And that's saying a lot. The Clippers have had a lot of crazy losses in their franchise history. A team that's capable of winning the championship or being down 50 at half. And that has nothing to do with skill. And so now you're telling me that these Clippers, who I don't know when or how to trust them at times, the most dependable and consistent aspect of their offense and defense, might be out for an extended period of time. It spells catastrophe for me for the Clippers.
I'm going to use three words, Roz, that you use: seize the moment, because that's exactly should be attached to Paul George right now. Because this is why they brought you here, to be the Robin to the Batman, that if Batman decides to leave the Batcave and go on vacation, you got to step up and save Gotham. Well, that's what he has to do right now if you're Paul George. Whether he wants this pressure or not, he's got this pressure. We don't know how long Kawhi Leonard or the severity of this injury is going to be. But now, Paul George, playoff P, this is now your time. Game 5 on the road. Your team has won 2 in a row. You play terrific defense. You've been able to step up your game. And it really started with Paul George. Game 6 and Game 7 of the previous series against the Dallas Mavericks. And he's been on a terrific roll ever since. Even though they lost the first 2 games against the Utah Jazz on the road, he played pretty well. But now playoff P has got to be playoff P from this standpoint to set that up. He's got to seize the moment. And, Roz, you mentioned something, and I forgot about this as well. Losing that game by 50 points, losing by 49, this is, once again, the most Clippers thing that can possibly happen. You're thinking this team's going to finally get it going, and then an injury to Kawhi Leonard. You think they're going to finally get it going last year? They have double-digit leads in Game 5, Game 6, Game 7 against Denver. And the next thing you know, they were gone fish, as the boys and inside the NBA and TNT have to say. This is, unfortunately, so typical Los Angeles Clippers that they get ready to do something, and something like this derails any kind of progress they're trying to make.
Freddie, I just want to respond
Go
to
ahead,
you, because,
Ron.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Monica. Yeah, this Clippers squad, I mean, has the talent. You don't know what you're going to get from them from game to game, and they've shown that. There's no reason, there's nothing they've shown to say that we can depend or trust on what they're going to bring out there. And you bring up Paul George now as the new unsung hero, or the new hero, the new guy that has to step up. But I'm a firm believer in putting guys in positions to be successful and asking guys to be who they are. First of all, let's stop the slander. Paul George is a great player. All right. I know NBA Twitter likes to have jokes. He's a great player. At his peak and at his healthiest, he's one of the top two-way players in the game. We're just a few years removed, Freddie, from Paul George being an MVP caliber player. Remember that OKC season? He was an MVP candidate. And even in OKC, I covered him there, and I remember him saying, I don't like plays called for me. I prefer to find my points, my production, my offense within the flow of the overall team offense. So now to suddenly say, all right, beat a man, I don't know that that's in his DNA or if that's putting him in the best position to be successful.
Roz, I'm glad you mentioned that because at first I was like, hold on, where is she going? Because that's it though, you nailed it. Because as much as he did at one point, and he seems to have the physical capabilities to do it, this is very much a what have you done for me lately league. And I don't want to call those elite years in which he landed the shoe deal with Nike and was up there competing with LeBron. I don't want to call those a flash in the pan because I don't believe that was that. However, track record since then has not necessarily lived up to that promise. And so this is what I said to Freddie in our first hour. While Paul George does need to be the head of the snake, to me, if this task is going to be completed by this Clippers squad minus Kawhi Leonard, it is going to be just as imperative that the role players play the best role out they possibly can in terms of Reggie Jackson, Pat Beverly, Marcus Morris, Zubac. The whole gang is going to have to be locked in. And yes, it should be Paul George that should lead the charge. But I'm also not concerned with just the basketball part of this. I'm concerned with the personality element of this and the attitude that's going to be required, like you mentioned in the top of your comments, Ross.
Yeah. Well, Kawhi and PG, the first duo in Clippers history to each score 30 points in back-to-back playoff games. But Paul George obviously will have to step it up even more in his absence. Okay, let's move on now to some more breaking news. As first reported by The Athletic, Chris Paul has been sidelined indefinitely due to league COVID-19 health and safety protocols. His timeline for coming back, not known at this point. So, Roz, what is your reaction to this news now?
My reaction is, what has Chris Paul done to the basketball gods to deserve all of
this? Yeah, exactly, right? Nothing.
Yes.
Amen.
Exactly. Chris Paul might have to burn some sage, y'all. Like, I don't know, but I mean, this is super deflating. And, you know, the first reaction, knee-jerk reaction for a lot of people is going to be, well, the Suns lose a lot of leadership. But specifically, what kind of leadership they miss the most will be in the understanding of the moment and urgency of the moment within a playoff setting and shot creation. I've been so impressed with these young Suns here. Besides Chris Paul, for the most part, everyone on this team is not only in their first playoffs, they're in their first season as being depended on as consistent contributors within the rotation. A lot of time for teams to have success in the playoffs, they've either got to have experience, been pained, learned from mistakes of the past, but this Suns team has not played with any food. They've seized all moments, and it's Chris Paul who has led them to that. Against the Nuggets, full sweep. They won every single third quarter against the Nuggets. And who was it? Chris Paul there asserting himself. Anytime the Nuggets try to make a response, Chris Paul came up with an assist or his own shot. And go back to the Lakers, game 6, closeout game. Chris Paul put that series to bed in the fourth quarter. Understanding the urgency and how to close quarters and games, they'll miss that from Chris Paul. And then shot creation. I've been marveling at that. I love Mikal Bridges. Boy, he's been the defense and threes. He's been able to hit shots, spot up. Who's setting that shot up? Chris Paul penetrating the paint and kicking out. DeAndre Ayton, how nice for this number one draft pick to finally be a consistent rim runner and finish on lobs. Who's setting a lob up? Chris Paul. So now you're without Chris Paul. These young guys spent the whole season learning the timing and spacing of where their shots are being created from by Chris Paul. And now you're going to ask 22, 24-year-olds in their first playoffs how to manufacture their own offense. That's very tough.
It is very tough, and I just had a hand of agreement every time you mentioned, who was it? Chris Paul. Say the name, Chris Paul. Now, this is what I will say. As the shock of this has worn off a little bit, y'all, and you're right, Roz, but I am wondering if in the arc of the growth of this team, right, there is an ability to steal one, right? To steal one. Listen, I am not crazy. Cameron Payne is not Chris Paul. But Cameron Payne has made tremendous strides. And when you look at the arc of his career, a guy that was bounced out of the league, had to go overseas, had to fight for it, had to come back, right? I do wonder if there is something that they have been able to glean from Chris Paul, and obviously Monty Williams has been tremendous, that they could stir it up just right to get you one. In the length of a series, this is absolutely problematic. But just in terms of having been able to learn alongside Chris Paul all season long, and of course, I'm sure he's going to be as involved as he can be, despite the physical restrictions due to the protocol, I do wonder if that is the next step in the growth of these guys, right? Like Devin Booker, we've known about your ability to score for a long time. Can you morph for a game into not just the scorer, but also someone who can help set the table so that this team can get it done? Tall task. I'm not taking anything away from Chris Paul's importance to this squad. It's an absolutely tall task. But I think sometimes when we hit that adversity, that's when we find just how much we've grown through the course of a season.
I go back to the words of Monty Williams after they closed out the Denver Nuggets about Chris Paul. He said, at the lowest point in my life, Chris Paul was there.
Yeah.
At the highest point in my life, Chris Paul is there. If anybody can have perspective on something like this and share that with a young basketball team, it's Monty Williams, who became a widow with five children when his wife tragically passed away in a car crash. So if anybody can shed some light saying, guys, I know we're not going to have Chris Paul for a definite amount of time, but there are a lot of worse things that people are going through. And his health is more important than anything else. When he comes back, we're going to be ready. But, guys, he would not want guys sitting around thinking, woe is us, what are we going to do? He would strangle us if he comes back here and guys are sitting there looking at their lockers just like Henry Winkler, the water boy, going, does anybody have an idea? Anybody? No, Chris Paul would not want that for this basketball team. And the perfect guy to get them through this is a guy like Monty Williams, who went through adversity to the 25th power, losing a soulmate for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
All right, well, again, we wish him a very speedy recovery. And we have some more breaking news, you guys. According to Woj and Andrew Lopez, Stan Van Gundy, after one season, is out as the head coach in New Orleans. So we'll be getting more information on that. But for now, Roz, thank you so much, girl. Always good to see you.
Always good. Bye, y'all.
Bye, Roz.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new day in the Bay. Yes, it is. 49ers have Jimmy G, but drafted Trey Lance with the number 3 overall pick in the 2021 draft. The rookie has been impressing his new teammates in camp, with tight end George Kittle saying, quote, I think Trey has all the attributes to be a special quarterback. He takes risks. He's trying to fit into the small windows. I'm excited to see his progress throughout training camp. He's definitely in the right spots. And we welcome in Lewis Riddick. This will be the 49ers starter. Oh, I'm sorry, Monica, who will be the 49ers starter on week 8?
Well, we certainly do welcome in Lou.
The prompter kind of threw me off just now. Everything was jumbled together. Sorry about that.
All good, all good. By week 8, I imagine that it probably will be Trey Lance. I got to say, a couple years ago, one of the questions on Twitter that sort of went viral was, what athlete do you wish had never gotten injured? And I have a soft spot for Jimmy G. I don't know that he's gotten a fair shake all, when I think of him, I think of injuries more than anything else. And so I don't know he's gotten a fair shake in the Shanahan system at the quarterback position. But there's no logic behind a team moving to the third place in the draft to select Trey Lance and not putting him in. And so as someone who watched Shanahan cater and create offense as a coordinator here in D.C. when Robert Griffin III was here, I do appreciate what Kittle said in that Trey is in the right spot. And I certainly think that Shanahan will cater the system to what he believes is the best fit for him. And by week eight, I imagine that this San Francisco 49ers squad is looking into the future and not, you know, has moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo.
I hope Jimmy G does not get injured, but I still think he's going to be the starting quarterback by week eight, although it can't be easy, you Jimmy Garoppolo. He's like the separated husband that goes to the kid's graduation and your ex has the next there and brought the kid to the graduation. That's what this is for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I clearly understand what the San Francisco 49ers decided to do with Trey Lance, because they're thinking, man, we can't trust Jimmy Garoppolo to stay healthy. So more than ever before, we're going to bring in a guy that fits and checks all the boxes that we need for this offense. But to bring some memory to your memory, it wasn't that long ago that this team was a bad fourth quarter and a Jimmy G missed throw from winning a Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2019 season. So we're not talking about a guy that has become a scrub or has regressed. But you mentioned, Monica, earlier, durability and availability. If you can't have both, especially the quarterback position, that's going to be a problem. He will still be the starting quarterback by week eight if he's not injured. I think he's going to start all 16, 17 games if he's not injured. But this is his job, playing for his job next year, not the San Francisco 49ers, when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo in his final year in San Francisco.
Yeah, I agree with you, Freddie and Monica, both. I think in this regard, I think what will have Trey in there is the fact that Jimmy's not in there because he's just not available, because he is injured. And I hate talking about it in that context, because you're almost, you know, that's just like putting negative vibes out there about what's going to happen to Jimmy G from an availability standpoint. But just think of it this way. This is the fourth offseason that he's gone through in San Francisco. It's only the second offseason, though, that he's been able to actually fully participate. And Kyle mentioned the fact that, look, he's locked in, man. He looks as good as he's ever looked. And quite honestly, he's had some of the best games of any quarterback in the NFL when he has been on it and he has been healthy and he's had his full complement of weaponry around him. So he's not going to just give this job to Trey. And I don't think Trey has enough time to really say, to really grasp everything that they're trying to do, to the point where Kyle would be like, you know what, we're going to put you in there. Now, when you get drafted number three overall and your head coach and the GM is talking about you the way they are, that being Trey Lance, and you're 6'4", 225 pounds, you're only 21 years old, you have one of the fastest game speeds measured by next gen stats, you know, of any skill position player in the NFL when you take his game speed from college and translate it to the pros. Look, it's hard to keep you off the football field. And I think they will sprinkle him in as the year goes on as much as they possibly can. But I just see Jimmy G really responding to this. He has the right DNA. He was brought up in the NFL the right way. I think he'll play some of his best football. Unfortunately, you know, the odds are something's going to happen to him where Trey's going to have to play by week eight, week nine. And if he does, I think you're going to see why they drafted him number three overall, because having seen this kid up close, stood right next to him, talked to him, this kid's a freak now in every sense of the word. I mean, that's just nothing but compliments I'm giving him. He's a freak. And there's a reason why, you know, that Kyle and the rest of the people in San Francisco are excited, and everyone else is going to be too when they fully unleash him on the NFL. Probably very similar to the way people were excited when Kansas City unleashed Patrick Mahomes.
So I'm glad you said that, Lou, because that was going to be my next question to you. In an ideal situation, knock, knock on wood, everybody stays healthy, would Jimmy G finish out the season and Trey would have the opportunity to just learn? Or is there, at some point in the season, whether it's health or not, do you see him moving into that starting spot?
Yeah, I think, Monica, look, I think that he'll stay the starter, you know, as long as he stays healthy. I think Jimmy will respond to this challenge. He will be a professional because that's what he's always been. And this football team, as it's presently constructed, will be right there in contention for the NFC title and then for a Super Bowl berth. I believe that wholeheartedly. I've always been a big believer in Jimmy. And Freddie, you're right. This team was one throw away that you just see go across your screen right there to Emmanuel Sanders from basically not even allowing Kansas City to kind of launch into this dynastic they're in right now in terms of trying to stack together Super Bowl wins, because they don't even win their first one. It would have been San Francisco that was hosting the. And Jimmy G would have probably been named the MVP of that Super Bowl. So I think there's no doubt that ideally they'd like for this to be one of those situations where they have time. Because, look, Trey's only 21 years old. He's going to play, hopefully, 10, 12, 15 years in San Francisco. There's no rush to put him in there. And if Jimmy can provide that kind of stability and allow them to take their time, just like Kansas City did, I know people say, well, look, that's not a very realistic model. But you know what? It's the ideal model. It really is, because you saw what it did for Patrick. You saw what he benefited from learning from Alex. You know, Trey could benefit the same way. And in 2022, all hell could break loose. And that's exactly what they want.
Yeah. Speaking of all hell breaking loose, because I got this question real quick to you, Lou. The quarterback market next year, because he's going to be part of that quarterback market. What kind of teams could be in play for Jimmy G? Because every time you turn around, it seems that the quarterback position is settled with young quarterbacks for a lot of teams. The quarterback market may not be there for him next year.
Yeah, but Freddie, you know, quarterback market's always so fluid, as you know. And what we think are our needs today turn out to not be our needs tomorrow. And what we think aren't our needs turn out to be our needs, right? Things change so quickly at quarterback because it's such a very razor's edge type of position. So I think there's always going to be a need. I think for Jimmy, again, it sounds cliche, but controlling the controllables is what he needs to do, which is just stack some wins, man. Get 10, 11, 12, 13 wins. Get this team back to a Super Bowl. And Jimmy's mark is going to be just fine. Look, he's paid anyway. He's good anyway. He's made already. He's already accumulated a generational wealth. He's not chasing money. Jimmy's good. Jimmy now is trying to really, quite honestly, if I'm Jimmy and if I'm putting myself in his shoes, he's chasing respect. Because nobody respects him, really. Mm-hmm. Everybody always says, look, he's the kind of the guy who was Tom Brady's understudy, the guy who's not quite good enough for Kyle. I mean, you know, people get tired of hearing that kind of stuff. You know that as athletes. You get tired of being doubted.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, there aren't many rookie quarterbacks that get the nod week one when we don't expect it. However, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick in 2012 and has started every game for the Seahawks since. Wilson and the Seahawks won the Super Bowl a year later. Then in 2016, Carson Wentz was the number two overall pick by the Eagles when they had Sam Bradford on the roster. Wentz started all 16 games for Philly that year. And then in 2016, also Dak Prescott started as a rookie in week one after Tony Romo got hurt in a preseason game. Prescott has been the Cowboys guy ever since, or up until his ankle injury last season. Now here's Bears coach Matt Nagy on his own quarterback situation.
But what we told Andy is that he's our starter, and he knows that. And that's what Justin knows, that's what Nick knows. They know their roles.
You said that Andy Dalton is the starter. So we wanted clarification whether or not that means that Justin Fields cannot win the job.
Whether it's clarification that he can't win it, yes, correct. Andy Dalton is our starter.
All right, Lewis Riddick back here with us. Freddie, you heard Matt Nagy. Are the Bears making a mistake not having an open competition at quarterback?
They're not making a mistake, but I went over my mouth and told everybody about it, because that's the most Bears thing to do, that you draft a guy in Justin Fields. Everybody knows he's going to be the starting quarterback. You go, there's no quarterback competition. Remain calm, all is well. You can feel that way as an organization, but you don't say it, because I know why they're doing it. They want to reduce any kind of pressure and reduce any kind of narrative and conversation about when is Justin Fields going to start, when is he going to start, when is he going to start. So I get it by not having open competition. They told everybody this is exactly what their roles are going to be. Here's the problem by painting yourself in the corner of you and the Bears. What if Justin Fields wows in training camp? Then that's a different conversation. they would have been better off not saying anything about not having an open competition. I think they're doing the right thing by protecting Justin Fields and defining roles. It would have been a lot better for the Chicago Bears to not do the Bears thing and keep it to themselves. Now they open themselves up to more scrutiny and conversation if Justin Fields wows the competition. And you already told people, no matter what he does, he will not be the starting quarterback day one when the regular season gets started.
I don't understand why we couch protecting as only already establishing or pre-establishing these roles. To me, they could still protect him and have left it as a competition. When I hear this, I immediately think of his teammates. If you buy that the Chicago Bears have an elite defense and they are a piece or two, a better decision or two away from being an organization that is respected and is on pace to contend, why do you lock yourself into this and why do you take the opportunity away from your star rookie? Every athlete, no matter the sport, just wants an opportunity to compete, right? And this could be week one, as quickly as week two, something changes. But to me, competition is the essence of what we do. And so to put this out there, mind you, with a locker room that is now looking at this young kid that you've drafted and seeing his upside, it gives me flashes back to last year when Jalen Hurts gets pulled from the game while the Eagles are still contending. This doesn't bode well for the entire organization, or at least I should say the team, the actual players that put on the pads and go out and fight for one another. I don't like this at all. I think the conversation should be, this is a competition, we're going to see what happens. Now, if in Nagy and Pace's mind, we still want to protect him, then just, you didn't compete. Like, you didn't win the competition. Continue to be better and then move on that way. But I don't like locking this in at all.
Look, knowing Matt Nagy like I do, I would venture to say this. All he's doing is trying to get us off of his back. Stop asking him the question. When's he going to start? When's he going to play? How soon is he going to be in there? He knows better than to think that he's not evaluating Justin versus Andy Dalton every day. Of course he is. He knows that his future is tied to this football team winning football games. And if he thought Andy Dalton was the way that he could, one, keep his job, two, get this team to the promised land, whatever you want to call it, and three, make this football team better, then they wouldn't have moved up so aggressively to draft Justin Fields, and he wouldn't have targeted Justin Fields, and he wouldn't have tried to trade for Russell Wilson, and he wouldn't have tried to do everything he possibly could to get any quarterback in there that could take their game to the next, take this team to the next level after they had already signed Andy Dalton. All he's doing is trying to get us to stop asking him. That's all he's trying to do. Just quit asking me this question. I already know I need to get this kid ready. You guys already know how much I like him. You know that I'm sitting here right now trying to tie my hands behind my back, sit on him, whatever, to keep from putting him in there. You know how I know that he's doing this? Because they did the same thing in 2017 down in Kansas City when he was the OC when they had drafted Patrick. From day one, as much as I love Alex Smith and I love him to death as a person and as a player and what he has overcome and what he has done, they knew they had something special. They knew every day they had to consciously tell themselves, let's just sit tight. Let's just sit tight. Let's just sit tight. Let him learn. Bring him along. Now, they had a different situation down there, too, because Andy Reid's job status was not in question. Matt's is. He's kind of trying to play both ends of it. Let me do right by this kid. Let me get him ready as soon as I can. He's my guy. Okay? So he's trying to do that, but at the same time, he knows, I got to win some games. I got to win some games here where people are going to start calling for my head and Ryan Pace's head at the end of this year. He'll be the starter at some point this year. I would bet by game four, quarter of the way through a season, they're going to be sitting there going, look, Andy, if you're not putting us in the end zone, Justin, be ready to roll. He's just trying to get us to stop asking him about the competition and when. That's all he's doing. He knows. He's sitting there. He's looking at the clock the same way we are. Just how soon can I get him ready and get him in here? Because I need to win games, and the kid is special. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's another reason, Lewis and Monica, why, as my dad told me, if you know a lot, say nothing. If you know more, say less. Yeah. They'd have been better to do that in this situation because, to your point, Lewis, and Monica as well, they've added to this conversation by saying, we've defined roles. We're going to make sure that everybody has dinner at 7, then dessert at 8:30, and then nighttime at 9:30. When you define roles with the quarterback position, with the guy that you drafted to be the future, you're not doing anybody any favors. You would think that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace would have known that, Lewis, to your point, because they did the same thing in Kansas City. But now they're doing the Chicago Bears and both of these guys in a lame duck situation. Sometimes it's best to say, whoever the best guy is going to play, that's the guy we're going to play, and you leave it alone. Then people won't ask you any questions because they can make their own evaluations, but then you're evaluating. Instead, you're saying roles have been defined. So Justin Fields goes in one preseason game and he's 15 for 15. Guess what that's going to sound like the day after or the night of when that happens, and that happens in a preseason game. They could avoid this whole thing, Louis and Monica, by saying the best guys are going to play. That's the end of it. I'll see you in July. Nope, they didn't do that. And here we are once again with the most Chicago Bears thing to do with two lame duck guys and a coach and general manager with the Chicago Bears.
Listen, Freddie, that's exactly right, because I'm definitely over here in Pettyville like, well, I would just keep asking him just because it doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you're going to have media at these mini camps and training camp and the whole bit, like, to me, this only opens up another layer of questions, even if the big picture is, let me get these folks off my back. But now you got every analyst in the world looking like, I don't know what they're talking about in week one, because that's not the way it's coming down out on the field. But I'm with Freddie. Let it be a competition. And, you know, I'm going to trust you, Lou, because you're my guy when it comes to these things. If he knows that he's got to evaluate him, then good on him.
Well, first off, let me just say this. I got a house in Pettyville, too. I live there, too, you know. So I
like we all live there.
I like that word. Okay. I got a residence in Pettyville. I like that neighborhood. Number two, I'll tell you this, though. Look, Matt can't win in Chicago right now because those people are like, look, the media, we all know people in Chicago media. They're like sharks right now. They're after Matt's behind. They want some answers, man. I mean, he's just trying to figure out a way to just kind of like beat them back and be like, look, leave me alone. I know what y'all want. I know what you want to hear. He's just sitting there going, look, I'm just trying to see if there's a way I can get them to leave me alone for just a little bit, because they want to see the same thing he wants to see, which is they want to see the new toy. They want to see this big, strong, fast howitzer of an arm quarterback come out there and play. Matt wants to see that too. No doubt about that. He couldn't afford to keep quiet, because they would have yeah. just, look, they're going to pound him and they're going to hound him either way. He can't win. The only way he can win is to get Justin out there on the field for them to win some games. That's the only thing that's going to get these people off his back. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think we all know the deal. All right, and Bears fans, they will not be happy if they got that excited during the draft only to see Andy Dalton play this season. So we'll leave it there. Lewis, thank you so much. But before we get to break, more breaking news. You guys, it doesn't stop. More breaking news from the NBA. Another Woj bomb. The Wizards and coach Scott Brooks, they have not come to terms on a new deal. They have agreed to go their separate ways. Brooks' deal did expire after the playoffs, but that is the current situation surrounding Washington right now. So, Lewis, once again, thank you so much.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Okay, back to our breaking news that we first reported at the top of First Take. LA Clippers star Kawhi Leonard expected to miss tonight's Game 5 with the Utah Jazz with a right knee injury, and he could be out the remainder of the series, sources telling ESPN. Leonard tweaked his knee on a drive late in the Clippers' Game 4 victory. He stayed in briefly, did not finish off the game. Okay, Freddie, we've had a little bit of time to let all of this absorb and sink in. What are your final thoughts as far as this goes?
Hey, Paul George, step up, dude, because Kawhi Leonard, I can't believe I said Paul Pierce, but let's just move on from that. Paul George, step up, my friend, because the truth is the truth. Like Monica just said, this is what you wanted to be a part of. This is why you came to Los Angeles Clippers and increased your chances to win a championship. Kawhi Leonard out. You got to step in and you have to be that guy. You have got to lead the way at both ends of the floor. You got to do it with your mouth. You got to do it with your actions. You got to do it with your leadership. Paul George, I am talking to you, and everybody in Clipperland is talking to you. This is your time to step up and be that guy. If you can't do it, then those whispers about you are going to be true. Maybe he's more of a Robin than a Batman. We hate that Kawhi Leonard is out. I love seeing great players play. But now, Paul George, it's your chance to be great like you think you are, you believe you are. Now you got to go out there and prove it in Game 5 tonight against Utah.
I think Robin gets a bad rap. Ain't nothing wrong with being Robin if that's who you are. But I just want to throw these numbers out.
He can't be Robin, though, now.
Freddie, listen, you got to be Batman. In the postseason, right, 5 games, 25 points or more on 65% shooting. Like, mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard is in a very, very elite club of guys that have done that. You're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Shaquille O'Neal that have done it. And so this is not just about Paul George stepping in the absence of Kawhi Leonard and, say, the regular season. Kawhi has been playing his best basketball when his team needed it the most. And so, yes, Paul George, of course, the natural next step is to look at you. But I also would implore the rest of that Clippers unit. You all know the personality and the dynamics of that squad. Everybody has to come to play and be willing to put on their best Batman impression within the team concept, of course. But they're going to need head-to-toe, 1 through 12, a complete commitment both on the defensive side of the basketball and the offensive side of the ball. This is going to be a tall task because Kawhi has been incredibly efficient in the biggest moments in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah, we'll be waiting to see what happens there. And we move on now to more breaking news as first reported by The Athletic. Chris Paul has been sidelined indefinitely due to league COVID-19 health and safety protocols. Now, there is some word swirling about that he could be back sooner because he has already been vaccinated, but we're still waiting for more information as far as that goes. So, Monica, final thoughts as far as this goes.
First, we hope that he recovers quickly, of course, and that he remains is asymptomatic and that this is not drawn out. The vaccine should do what it's designed to do. Chris Paul, when he's on the floor with his Phoenix Suns, their net efficiency is plus 13. Without him, it drops down to 5.6. And so there's no secret that he makes this squad go. What I am hoping for is that this Suns squad has gleaned enough from him that if they have to go a game without him, they can play good team basketball, good sound basketball on both ends of the floor. I'm not going to be naive. I know that that is a tall task and a large ask. You're asking Cameron Payne to step into Chris Paul's shoes. You're asking Devin Booker to be not just a scorer, but also a playmaker. Everybody has to level up. Jay Crowder has that veteran experience for them. But if those are the cards that you're dealt, what makes great teams great is their ability to adjust and figure out a way to survive. And so certainly you want to see Chris Paul back on the floor. We hope that the stint in the protocol is shortened because of the vaccine and that he can get back to it because we want to see Chris Paul in this moment. It just seems like he always catches these bad breaks, but we'll see how that one evolves.
To echo that point, Monica, I guarantee you Chris Paul is going to have conversations with his basketball team because he can't be around them because of COVID-19 protocols. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean he's not picking up the phone and texting guys or calling guys saying, hey, we did not come this far to have this kind of setback set us back. Yeah, he knows how important that he is. He's the most important piece on the Phoenix Suns. But he's going to impart the wisdom and knowledge to each and every last player that's a team member on this team to say, hey, you guys can still do this without me until I get back. Do not just shrink from this responsibility. Do not look at yourselves and say, what are we going to do? You know what you can do. You have the ability inside of you to do that. Yeah, I love being a part of this, but the reason that I was able to come here and be a part of this was because I knew in the future this was going to be better for this organization, better for you individually and collectively. Chris Paul clearly understands his place, and a big part of that is leadership off the basketball court. Don't think for one second he has not contacted each and every guy to say, we're still going to continue on, and when I get back, we're going to be ready once again. But don't take a step back because it is setback. We're going to be better for this, not be less because of what happened to me.
And just one thing, Monica, you mentioned that you hope that Chris Paul is asymptomatic. We don't know that he necessarily has COVID. He's just a part of the protocol. He could have just been exposed to someone who does have COVID or something of that nature. Okay. So just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move on here. It's year two for Cam Newton and the Patriots. Newton getting a full offseason with the team after admitting last year that he wished he had more time to learn the system. His head coach, Bill Belichick, says you can see a difference that a year makes. Take a listen.
Cam's way ahead of where he was last year at this time. There's no question about that. I mean, it's, you know, as you would expect, he, you know, has a good year of experience under his belt and is able to start the process at the beginning and not be in a catch-up mode like he was last year.
Okay, Freddie, can Cam get back to the Super Bowl with the Patriots?
Only as an assistant coach, not as a quarterback, if that happens, because I don't trust Cam Newton enough, even though they've done a great job adding pieces in the offseason, and they're going to get all those defensive guys back. So we should automatically assume and really believe and trust and believe that the Patriots is going to be a better football team. But I still wonder if Cam Newton has that ability to dial it up, especially throwing the football. He can no longer put a team on his shoulders and run his way in addition to passing his way and getting that team to a Super Bowl. The AFC is still loaded, especially in their own division. You got the Buffalo Bills, who I still believe is the best team in that division, and Miami right behind that football team. So I could see the Patriots back in the playoffs, but Cam Newton leading this team to a Super Bowl, I don't see that happening. I think if the Patriots get to a Super Bowl, it'll be with Mac Jones as their quarterback in the future, not Cam Newton this year or if he's around next year.
Mac and cheese, as Cam affectionately calls Mac Jones. You got mac and cheese getting the Patriots back to a Super Bowl. Fred, listen, it's the end of our show. I got a flag for you, Freddie.
Already?
That is ridiculous. I got on my referee stripe.
I was waiting for this.
Don't bark. Listen, y'all gonna stop disrespecting Cameron Newton, okay? He had, I mean, oh, here goes that word we all hate, unprecedented. He had quite the year last year. I don't think we can negate how far behind he was due to COVID, the whole bit, the opt-outs that this Patriots organization had, and all the things that they've done in free agency. And everybody wanted to point out the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady thing. Tom Brady went and had success. There probably is a part of Bill Belichick that is like, let me go and remind y'all that I was the orchestrator for all the things that happened here while Tom was in Boston. I think that we are underestimating Cam. Has his game changed? Certainly. Is he still necessarily Superman taking all those crazy hits? I don't know that he is. But is he still an extremely high IQ football player? Is he still a guy that can lead a team, especially when he has the opportunity to team up with one Bill Belichick? Listen, this year, probably not. Mm-hmm. Next year, I would not rule it out. I just think that there's room for this to be a possibility. I would not rule it out when it comes to this organization and this union with Cam.
I'm ruling it out because I don't think he's going to be a Patriots quarterback next year. Mac Jones is coming on strong, and he's going to be that starting quarterback next year. So if Cam Newton's going to do it, it better be this year. Good luck doing that because this is a precision offense. Although I will say this, Cam Newton has got more love in the media from Bill Belichick than Tom Brady got in 20 years. Tom Brady couldn't get a pat on the helmet.
They feel bad for him.
Yeah, he couldn't get an invitation to the Belichick Thanksgiving dinner. Cam Newton's there 2 years. Boy, Cam Newton's getting so much love from Bill Belichick. Tom Brady's be sitting back going, what? I won you 6 championships?
I can't get that kind of love?
I know,
I know. It's because Cam got a swaggy nickname game. He calls them dollar-dollar bill, y'all.
I get it. But Tom Brady made dollar-dollar bills for Bill Belichick and 6 championships in those 20 years.
Now he's making those dollar bills down in Tampa. Okay, let's talk about another quarterback. We have Derek Carr. He's been the Raiders QB for 7 seasons. He wants it to stay that way. Carr led the Raiders to an 8-8 season last year, and the team hasn't made the playoffs since 2016, but restated his desire to remain the guy in Vegas.
I've said it over and over again. I'd probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else. You know, I am a Raider for my entire life. I'm going to root for one team for the rest of my life, and it's the Raiders.
Freddie, he's a loyal guy. What's your reaction to Carr's comments?
Hold on a second. Oh, okay. Okay, it's not 1955. I just wanted to make sure that we were 20.1. This is the National Football League, and I'm a Derek Carr fan. I think he embodies everything you want as a football player and a person. A very faithful guy, a very loyal guy. But he's playing for a coach in John Gruden that if you're not producing to his liking, he will move on from you. So I get it. Derek Carr loves the organization. He wants to make the Raiders matter again. He wants to have that commitment to excellence that was a part of the Raiders' DNA for the long time when they were competing and winning championships. But in the National Football League, the NFL stands for not for long, especially the Las Vegas Raiders, that if you're not producing the way that John Gruden believes you can produce, he will go out and find somebody else. He wanted to be in the Tom Brady sweepstakes last year, and they were not able to make that happen with the Raiders before Tom Brady went on to Tampa Bay because that's where he wanted. It's nice and refreshing that Derek Carr feels this way, but this is the 21st century, not the 20th century. And if you're not producing the way a coach wants you to, you can have that loyalty, but you have to take that loyalty somewhere else because John Gruden is not going to be playing and standing for that.
I read this quote before I saw it, and I was like, is he kidding? Or was he serious? But the more that I've had a chance to digest it, while I agree with everything you got, Freddie, in terms of this is a results-driven industry, and if you're not getting it done, you're not going to have the opportunity to be put on the field. I am, again, going back to our conversation about Aaron Rodgers and today's athlete. You could argue that in terms of Derek Carr, the man, the husband, the father, he's done what he needs to do financially, right? If he's been smart with his money, he's good. If he has this level of allegiance, cool, kind of. I mean, that's his personal choice. I think the idea that Gruden has this type of allegiance is we're not going there. Like, that's not a thing at all. He's obviously looking for who puts him in the best position to win football games. And so there's actually a part of me that says, well, if you are okay with being forced into retirement and that's not necessarily what your only option would be, right, then good on you. But there it is, a very clear that the other side of this, in terms of the people that make the personnel decisions for the Raiders, they don't have this kind of loyalty.
Yeah, real quick, I think Derek Carr's gotten a bad rap as a quarterback because for the longest time before they moved to Las Vegas, people wanted him out of there. I said, that guy's a better quarterback than you think. He's got a stud for a tight end in Waller, who's one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. The Raiders need to improve on defense, no doubt about that. But plenty of problems that the Raiders have had, Monica and Charlie, has not been Derek Carr's fault, but he's taking the blame for a lot of that. So I understand he's probably thinking, you know what? I've been here through the tried and true. I deserve to be around when we finally get better. That's still another year away because that defense can't stop anybody. They can't catch a common cold, much less stopping anybody. So he's really going to have to play a lot better to overcome the deficiencies that the Raiders are going to have on defense in 2021.
All right, well, you mentioned Cam Newton maybe becoming an assistant coach. Maybe that's in Derek Carr's future as well for the Raiders. He's a loyal man. All right, let's move on to the NBA for our final topic of the show. We have a pivotal Game 5 in Philly series tied up after Trae Young. Ice Trae led the Hawks to the come-from-behind victory with a 25-point performance in Game 4. Monica, who has the edge tonight?
Okay, let me explain my answer, Charlie and Freddie. I believe the Hawks have the edge. Uncle Mo is on their side. That was a very gritty comeback win for them. And quite honestly, we've heard from the 76ers camp that they choked that one away, right? Mm-hmm. However, I do think that the 76ers squad is good enough. And if they play Game 2 basketball, they should be able to overcome this Hawks squad with an edge. But the Hawks have length, they have confidence, and they can shoot the three. So I think the Hawks are feeling pretty good coming into this one.
To me, the team that has the edge of the team that's going to be playing at home, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. And Monica, to your point, they blew an 18-point lead. And Doc Rivers let them hear about it in the postgame where he said the Hawks out-bleeping worked us all night long, especially coming back from 18 points. You know that's going to be ringing in the ears of one particular dude, and that is Joel Embiid, who went 0 for the fourth quarter. He's a very prideful man and a very forceful man. He's going to bring that edge, and everybody's going to follow his lead. I'm with you. I think the 76ers win tonight, but they had the edge going into this game based on how they choked it away in the final half of the
game. The one thing I think is important for us to watch, as terrific as Joel Embiid has been, in the last game we started to see maybe that knee actually is bothering him. So we've got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Well, you know he's feeling good too now after making All-NBA. He's entitled to that Supermax money, so he's feeling good heading into tonight. We have two big games, both of them tied at 2-2, so we are ready for it. And, you know, we're going to break it all down tomorrow right here on First Take. Freddie, Monica, it's been a pleasure. See you guys.
Thanks, guys.